As we continue our sort of reflection on God's revelation, reminding you that we've talked about how God reveals God's self in love with a purpose for creation, that God is steadfast and trustworthy. God reveals God's self through Jesus Christ, which the primary witness we have for that is Scripture. The Holy Bible tells us the story of God's interaction with the people of the Old Testament in their history and in Jesus Christ and the foundation and the founding of the church. We hear this story. And we begin to find out that God's story is also mingled with our story in our history. And even in our own lives, we find that God's story is somehow becoming our story, and our stories are being interwoven in God's story. And the ways that we weave our story with God and God with us is not only is through reason, which we talked about a little bit last week, using our mind, but also from our heart and from our experiences. Now, sometimes our experiences get in the way of our relationship with God. But if God is reaching out to us and God is incarnate in Jesus Christ, then our experiences are going to become places where we experience God's grace. Our lives become a way of knowing, not just having been told through revelation, not just having been taught by the tradition, not just having thought it in a class or in our mind, but by experiencing in our lives, by our words and our activities, the power of God's grace. And I will kind of line out some very brief ways that happens and invite you to take the posture that allows your experience to become filled with God's grace. And we'll reflect on that from today's reading. The first thing we need to remember about our experience is that it is indeed limited to ourselves. But we may find that other people have experienced similar things, and we find a unity in that, and we find a grace in that. But our experience, what happens to us, is not the final word for everything we know. And so, we have to kind of watch out for that tendency to say, well, in my experience, this doesn't work. Because if God says to us, if God is speaking to us, if God is revealing God's self to us, it is very possible that God will ask us to do something that our experience will tell us is impossible. In fact, many of the times when we say we can't do it, it's not practical, we might want to take a moment and say, wait a second, let's test this a little further. Am I saying this is not practical because I don't want to do it, and I want to find an excuse not to do it? The Bible is full of things God has told us, both the people of God in the Old Testament and the people of God in the New Testament. And a great many of those things we discount, we set aside with the words, they are not practical. We can't do this. We don't see how it's possible. And I could list on and on those things. We need to be aware of that. It's not practical. Is it an excuse of passing on what God wants us to do? That being said, then our lives become a way in which we can look back over them and see the power and might of God's grace. Each of us can think of times where, as we look back on our life, things came together in such a way that it could only have been God's grace working things out. I can think of several, but one in particular, which is important in my life, was the reality that as a salesperson, I was struggling. I initially had started working for Service Distributing down in Newington in 1983. And by the time I got to 1984, I was having a difficult time. I just wasn't quite getting it. And to this day, if you talk to my boss, Buddy, that's his nickname, he will tell you that he was this close to firing me. And he had every reason to. But on January 2nd, when I woke up to begin the new year in 1985, I do not know what happened. I cannot explain how it happened. I cannot give scientific proof of what went on in me and in that day. There is no way I can account for this. But on January 2nd of 1985, I woke up, I walked out the door, got in my car, and for some reason, I went out and I sold my whole month's quota of three of my items in one day, one of the worst days to sell anything on. I don't know where it came from in terms of science. When I walked into the office that night, they were all lined up on the hallway going, "What happened?" It was astounding. And the only thing I can say, it was God's grace. I never looked back. I was salesman of the month numerous times until I went to seminary. I don't know what happened, except that I woke up and I was ready to do what needed to be done. God was working somehow, somewhere in that. And while I might have some role to play in that, the experience was that God changes things. God can make a difference. God protects, and God cares for us. And even in the most difficult and troubling circumstances we experience, we can experience and know God's presence and love. We can trust it. Now, today's scripture helps us understand the postures that might be required of people when they're following God, to experience God. And I invite you to maybe visualize. Jeff, would you help me? I need a volunteer from the audience. Okay, there's one posture, which we could have, just stand right there, where we experience God. Imagine that we're James and John. And what would we be doing if we were James and John on a regular day? Fishing. And, you know, that's one way to really kind of together, shoulder to shoulder, working. That's one way we experience God. And that's an important way, and we all experience that. Working together for a common cause, which on that day, James and John were not having a good day. They were as good a fisherman as I was a salesman prior to 1985. They were having a terrible time. Now, there's another way in which we can relate as individuals face me. That's like this. Just relating to each other. You know, really, Jeff's not a TV. He's not a Game Boy. I'm not a Wii. I'm not a computer. We're two persons. We're two human beings. And whenever two human beings face each other, there's a space for God, a grace space, if you will. And we can share and be with each other in wonderful ways as we learn about each other. And that's another way, that's a posture that we can have between two people. Now, let's face this way. Another posture that we can have is both Jeff and I can face the cross. And we do this together, shoulder to shoulder. It's just like we're fishing in a way, except that our attention is not on the task of our living. It's on the task of the God who loves us both. And so there's this posture that we have between us of shoulder to shoulder, both with our need of God, both loved by God, both cared for by God. This is an important posture too, but it changes. Let's kneel. Because sometimes we need to kneel before God. And if you remember, that's what happened to Peter. Something amazing happened. Where he had failed, Jesus had somehow worked a miracle and brought all that he needed, an abundance. And Peter's response was, "Oh Lord, go away from me. I do not deserve to be around you. I am a sinner." And indeed, Jeff can, and I can affirm that. We can come before God. We know we are just not what God has called us to be. And in our best moments, sometimes we realize that we don't deserve God. And so we fall down kneeling. But you know what God does? In that act of contrition, in that expression of love and response to God, and awe at God's abundant grace, God does not allow us to kneel. Oh, Jeff is in such better shape than I am. Jesus turns them around. And in fact, Jesus faces them and says, "I'm going to give you something new to do." And then he faces them out. And he sends them forth. When it comes to experiencing God, it is not to be found in following our own agendas or in our pastimes. It's to be found in our caring for each other and for our God and for the world. If you want to experience the God who reveals God's self, if you want to know the God who seeks to be known and who knows us, if you want to experience in your life in a personal way, just about the best and, well, frankly, only way is to be a disciple, a learner. You learn from God, and that means you take on postures of discipleship, which are relating to each other, working together, worshiping and praying together, and being sent forth together. They're postures that we all have with each other. It's not just about ourselves. It's about us doing it together. Discipleship sometimes is a big word that confuses us. But it really is just trusting with God that what God asks us to do, while not very practical in our minds sometimes, we think, "I can't do that. I don't have enough money. I don't have the skills. I don't have..." You know what? Neither do I. But we do have God. And that is what, when we think about our relationship with God, the best place to experience it, the best way to think about it, the way to honor our history and traditions, and the way to be faithful to Scripture and Jesus Christ and the God who reveals, is to follow Him and experience God's love in our work, our prayer, and our worship.